Jesus, who could not sin, could in fact repent. chunk of Jesus' temptation is treated as sort of a self-help guide. If you do this, then you too can be like Jesus, simply quoting and believing the clear word of God, and that it is therefore your call, as well as you know the word. Knowing the word, you too can fend off the fiery darts of the tempter with that word. Now there is some truth to that, but only on the surface. For there is something much deeper here. Jesus' victory in the wilderness is certainly instructive. It does tell us and teach to us the mechanics of how to fight against the powers, the principalities, and the spiritual forces of darkness, even in heavenly places. If you do not know and carry around the Word of God in your heart, you are but wounded prey destined to be devoured by the evil one. You must not underestimate his power, for evil, for the old evil foe, means deadly woe to you. On earth, you say, is not his equal. But Jesus' temptation is much more than instructive. There is a substitutionary element to Jesus' victory over temptation. I want to take you back for just a few brief moments to the previous chapter in Matthew's Gospel. It is usually the first Sunday in the Epiphany. It was there that you hear and understand about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River. It was there, too, at the baptism of Jesus that the heavens were parted and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." One of the many purposes of the baptism of Jesus was to establish and confirm who Jesus was and is. "This is my beloved Son." Jesus is the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the second person of the divine Trinity, revealed in the other two persons in his baptism. And then Matthew goes on in chapter 4 with our text for today. Immediately, the word is there in the Greek. After his baptism, Jesus was led into the wilderness to face the devil. There, the faithfulness of the Son of God would be put to the test. "This indeed, therefore, is the only begotten Son of the Father. He will do that which Adam and Eve should have done, but did not do. He will be faithful to the word of his Father. He will do what Israel in their wilderness wanderings could not do. He will fear, love, and trust his Father above all things. He will do that which you, which I cannot do. He will stand face to face with the diabolical one and extinguish every fiery dart that the devil hurls his way. Satan's same old, is one of the reasons that this passage from Matthew 4 is so appropriate to the beginning of the season of Lent, because it affords each of us an opportunity to consider our faithfulness before God. He offers each of us the opportunity to examine your heart. Put aside Jesus was. In fact, he knew he was the Son of God. He was concerned about whether or not he would do what Adam and Eve couldn't do, or whether or not he would do what Israel couldn't do, or whether or not he would do what you and I cannot do, which is to follow the will of the Father perfectly. Now, perhaps you better understand Jesus' agonizing prayer in the garden on the night of his arrest, when, as Luke says, his sweat became as great drops of blood. "Father," he said, "if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And like our first parents, we grumble and complain about why me? Why is this happening to me? Like Joel, we can see why it should happen to others, but not to us. Very soon, dear friends, you will have completed yet another Lenten journey, and you will find yourself sitting in the darkness of this sanctuary, reflecting upon the meaning of what occurred on Good Friday. You will remember then that Jesus' death on that cursed cross was for you. And how strange is that great paradox to ponder? The shepherd dies for sheep who still love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him. Who would not know him? Lent bid you to follow Jesus and make your way to the cross. In the interim, you remember too that your salvation, your acceptance by the Father in heaven, is granted not by what you do or can do, but by the perfect life and obedience of Jesus. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and defeated Satan there for you. The battle was fierce, but the victory was his, and his victory is given to you because of the cross. Indeed, you need not fear the horns of hell, for Christ is your Emmanuel. The strong foes yield to Christ. He is your shield, and you, now the victor, hold the field. The Son of God, you see, stands for you as the valiant one whom God himself elected. He has taken your place, and now he gives you his place. For he stands in your step in his victory over temptation. It's your victory over Satan.